You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Familiar passage here, Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. It says this: when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." So here we see in this passage, Jesus speaking with his disciples, asking them a question. Jesus is smart. He asks them the public question. Right, if you want your kids to tell you something, this is from a few years in youth ministry here, you don't ask them what they think, you ask them what their friends think, right? Because when you ask them what they think, then that betrays their own ignorance or feelings about something. What do all your friends think? Then you get a lot more responses. Well, they think this, or they think this, or they think this. Jesus says, "What does everybody else think about me?" Right? And they're willing to throw out all the answers. But then when he gets personal, where they could be wrong, I think they probably pause a little bit. "But what do you think of me?" But Peter, we see here, comes with the right answer. He says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response is familiar, but I think it's very important. He says, "Blessed are you." Why? Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It wasn't a human being. This wasn't information you got from some other person. "But my Father, which is in heaven." Very simply, in this passage, we discover, and in many others in the scripture, but we discover that man can be taught by God. That's a very huge reality. That's one of the main things that we believe, that our God is there and has the ability to literally teach people. He can reveal things to human individuals that no one else has the ability, or nothing else has the ability to reveal. He can be the teacher. Now, what we call this, the experience of this, it's called a lot of things. Some people call it a flatus. Some people call it communication. Some people call it illumination. Some people call it understanding. In many of the worship songs we just sung, we called it opening up our eyes, right? So that we could understand, we could really grasp things more. Something could be revealed to us. What I'm going to call it, as I said, is simply divine light. Because I like that term, because number one, it's divine, it comes from God. And number two, it's light. We'll talk about that. It's illuminating. It gives us clarity in regards to certain things. And what Peter here receives is a divine light in regards to the person of Christ. And Jesus says to him, "You're blessed because of that. You were taught of God. You received something here that was directly from him." If God is getting involved in teaching Peter, it tells us that there's more to truth than just knowing facts. There's more to what the Bible would say to us, to what we say we believe as Christians, than simply intellectually grasping what might be true about something or what might not be true about something. J.I. Packer would say this, I'll read it to you. "If the decisive factor was notional correctness, then obviously the most learned biblical scholars would know God better than anyone else. But it is not. You can have all the right notions in your head without ever tasting in your heart the realities to which they refer. And a simple Bible reader and sermon hearer who is full of the Holy Spirit will develop a far deeper acquaintance with his God and Savior than a more learned scholar who is content with being theologically correct. The reason is that the former will deal with God regarding the practical application of truth in his life, whereas the latter will not." Right? Again, knowing facts about God is not the same as knowing God. That should be something that encourages all of us, right? A person who has great intellect, as J.I. Packer did, or does, that individual doesn't know God more than others simply because they understand facts. I would say, no offense to Peter or the other disciples, they had a lot of facts wrong about Jesus at this point in their life as they were walking with him. But they knew him in a pretty remarkable way. And Peter here had something taught to him by God that is very important. Theology is necessary, but it's not sufficient for us. It is where we begin as we understand God, but it isn't the end of things and isn't the full depth of things. And when we confuse those two, facts about God and the reality of actually knowing him, when we mix up the ends and the means there, those people end up getting discouraged, right? Because they begin to say things like, well, I tried the Christian thing, or I want to grow in my relationship with God, but like, I don't understand God's sovereignty and man's responsibility or the Trinity, or, you know, I memorized the catechism or these prayers, or I did these things and it didn't work, right? It's not happening for me like it is for this other person. How come for them these things are happening and for me it's not? And people could be discouraged because they think an accumulation of intellectual facts is somehow going to jump them in their spiritual knowledge of God and who he is. That's not necessarily true. Because things need to be taught more than simply what a man can teach. Does that make sense? God has to be involved as the teacher. Otherwise, we won't truly know him the way that we should. And Peter here is having that pointed out to him. And Jesus, by pointing it out to Peter, is pointing it out to us. This divine light, this recognition of what's happening here, of God as being active in the teaching, is something that's integral to knowing any truth about God. And from the simplest thing to the most complex thing. Because truth isn't just for the intellect. It's more than fact. It's more than doctrine. It's even more than revelation. Everything that is given to us by God through revelation, it's all true. But there's more that's true, right? In eternity, we're going to know even more things. God hasn't told us everything. He's told us exactly what we need to know. So what we have to realize is there's always more out there. But the way we come into contact with that truth is very important. It's more than a code of 2 + 2 = 4. It's more than commandments. It's more than just for the intellect. Well, most people would agree for thousands of years, Christians haven't been schooled, but they've known God in reality and in truth. How is that? Well, it's because of this. Jesus would say in Matthew 11, Verses 25 through 27, I'll read this to you. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The idea is, again, there's more to truth than knowing the mere facts about God that the Bible says the demons know and tremble over. That the facts don't give us that reality of intimate relationship with him. Again, it's just the beginning part. Men can teach the mind, they could teach the memory, they could teach the emotion, but only God can truly teach the heart. Hence, you can have some professor somewhere in any secular college where they have some divinity program speaking about biblical truth, but it's not changing anybody's life. They're not being born again. It's not even changing. That professor could be totally unsaved. But they could talk about God, and they could talk about predestination, and they could talk about all types of things. They could talk about the original languages. They could talk about Hebrew. They could talk about Greek. They could teach the whole course on it. They can understand those things, the facts, more than many of us do. But that doesn't mean they're acquainted with God more than we are. Because that's just the man. There's something missing in that equation. And what's missing is this. God's work in the process. That's why Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, where Paul was for years, probably not a better taught church, maybe certainly in existence at that time in the world. Paul was there for so long, and what he prays for them is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Do you notice that? These people who knew more facts about God, more doctrine probably than any other church, he's like, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in him. I want you to be able to have the knowledge of him. I want you to be enlightened. He understood God has to do a work to make these things real. A.W. Tozer gives us a picture through the tabernacle where he says, when you came to the tabernacle, in the outward, you came to that outward court of the tabernacle, you had the light of the sun, the natural light of the world, where you could see things and know things. That is what you have in many areas of this life. We have natural knowledge. You have science. You have the things that you can find out and understand from the natural world. He said, but when you go into then the tabernacle, into that holy place, there's only one light. That light was the candle that God revealed to them. That oil was burning. And everything you saw in that arena came through revelation. God directly told Moses, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to build this. And the only things that could be known there were through the light of revelation, through what God said. Otherwise, you wouldn't see anything. You wouldn't know anything. And much of what we know about God has come through revelation. Without it, we won't see or know anything. We couldn't have discovered these truths with a microscope. How can a microscope fathom my guilt and my sin? Through the natural world, I can't understand everything that comes from Scripture or God or who he is. But there was one other place you could go, and that was in the Holy of Holies. And when you came to the Holy of Holies, there was the literal glory of God shining in that place. And he said, when you came to that place, if a person could step into that arena, the knowing is the simplest and most real term of knowing something. He says, actually, it would be better to just say, God happened to that person, right? And there's a knowledge that we have of God that comes through direct interaction with him. That light there wasn't the light of the world. It wasn't the light through revelation. It was the light directly from God. And what the Bible says is that you and I can be taught directly from God. We can receive light, truth, knowledge, understanding, revelation in him that is directly from him, that we can't receive any other place. And if we don't have that, we are severely lacking. Now, how do we get our portion of this, right? How can I have my portion of this blessing that came here to Peter? What does that look like for you and I? Let's talk about it. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to flip to a couple places in John here. But the first way this happens in our lives is very directly through the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we're going to see that here in John. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is leaving. He wants to get some important things across to them. Here is what he will say this night. John 14, look at verse 25. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Very important, right? Here he says, the Holy Spirit directly is going to be your teacher. The things that I have said to you, he is going to teach you those things. He's going to give light to them. He's going to bring them to your remembrance. Notice John chapter 15. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The point is, right? He is going to come, and he is going to testify. He is going to be a witness. He is going to be the Spirit of truth, the witness to truth in your life. That's a promise of his. John chapter 16, let's begin in verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Notice this. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you." Jesus here again making the point. I'm going to go away, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. The things that I want to say to you that you won't get right now, he will help you get them. So very clearly, the Bible tells us one of the Holy Spirit's main job is to be our teacher, is to give us what I've been talking about, divine light. The Holy Spirit has power, the Bible says. Power is the ability to do. And one of the abilities that the Holy Spirit has is to make spiritual realities real to the individual soul. Does that make sense? We don't walk around by sight anymore and see that burning pillar of fire or cloud. We don't walk around by sight as the disciples did and see Jesus Christ in front of us. But what he says is, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will make those things just as real in your life as if you did see those things. We don't live by sight. We live by faith now. Faith is trust in the character of God. And the Holy Spirit's work is to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul would say this, "Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God." Why? "That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." The Holy Spirit takes revealed truth, facts, the things we started with, knowledge, doctrine, theology, the things that are true about God, and he gives them their proper weight in our hearts and in our lives. That's his job. Again, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many people have ever heard that? Yes, thank you. How many people know that fully? You think you know all of God's love you could possibly know? I'm surprised. You think he's got nothing left? Just because you know a fact doesn't mean you possess it totally. How do you know more the love of God? Only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. What instrument that's earthly can you take to measure out his love? The Bible says the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. We won't know the love of God fully through all eternity. He says, for the ages to come, we're going to be learning about those things. You know the basis, right? We all start somewhere. We know God loves us. But how much? What is the depth of that truth? What is the height of that truth? What is the breadth of that truth? We don't know that fully. And the only way we could come into the realization of those things fully, the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the humility of God, the love of God, Christ as our provider, Christ as our guide, as our shepherd, God's work in our hearts and lives, the hope of his return, the hope of heavenly reward. All of those things, any truth of the Bible, anything you would take, the Holy Spirit takes those things and gives them their proper weight for us to live and know and walk with him. When you have cancer, when things hit you, when you're in need of provision, when you're in need of peace, when you need to have courage to follow him, when you need to just do daily Christian life, what do we need from him? What we need is the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of God, truth we might already know, but in a way that is balancing and corresponding to where we are in life. Does that make sense? Right? That's why some people can be in the worst situations and, like Paul say, the grace of God is sufficient for me. Why? Because he learned the grace of God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit in a new way that was equal to his difficulties. And a person can't just come up to you and tell you that verse. One of the things that I think is a real danger for people like you and me, people who go to Calvary Chapel, people who have been taught the Word of God, people who know a lot of head knowledge, is to think that because we know the verse, we possess the reality of that thing. That's not true. That's not true. Just because you know the facts doesn't mean we've been taught of God. There's more there. And now, that shouldn't frighten us. In fact, it should excite us. And there's nothing that would keep us, not even our intellect, from receiving our portion of that. Because it's not all based on the intellect. It is based on the work of Christ. Hence, you have the Holy Spirit taking a single truth and literally transforming people's lives with it. Martin Luther read, "The just shall live by faith." Boom, light from the Holy Spirit. Transformed his life. That's it. One truth from the Bible. A blaze of light from the Holy Spirit. Transformed his life forever. David Livingstone read the verse, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." Most of us have read that verse, right? We know it. We understand it. Changed his life. Changed his life. Gave him the power to live one of the loneliest lives that probably has ever been lived on the face of the earth. For the glory of God. He says, the word of a gentleman, he won't break it. Change his life. The depth of it, the reality of it, the Holy Spirit made that so real, gave it such light that he could live the life that he lived. Again, the things that we come into contact with in our lives, truth is not just a fact. We don't just know it when we come into contact with it. It has endless depths and eternal dimensions. One single moment of God teaching us can change a life forever. You can have plenty of men tell you plenty of things, but when the Holy Spirit makes something real to somebody, it changes their life forever. Now, that's happened to every single believer right at the beginning, right? Right at the beginning, Christ has revealed to us the reality of our sin and him as a Savior. His sufficiency, his work on the cross, the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, and we're saved. But the work doesn't stop there. He continues to reveal Christ to us through the rest of our lives here on earth. That is his work. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And all of us, everyone here, if you're truly born again, should have some measure, some understanding of what I'm saying to you. Right? There's some place in your life where you're like, yes, I know he's done that. He has made himself more real to me. He has spoken to me. Sometimes it's in larger, more powerful ways, like I said, like a Martin Luther reading that verse and just, boom, his life totally changed. Often it's in smaller ways. It's in proportion to our seeking him or to what we're facing, to the promise we need at the moment, to what we need to worship him. But this is the work that he does, and we can learn more in one instant with the Holy Spirit from God teaching us than we can from a lifetime of men telling us facts. People could have come up to Paul the Apostle when he was still Saul and told him all the facts he ever wanted to hear. Never would have changed a single thing in his life. But one instant with Jesus Christ, with some bright light, we'll call that divine light, changes his life, doesn't it? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? God teaches people. God teaches people. He steps in, and like light, like a flash of light on sensitive film, it can happen in an instant, but the results stick. They stay with an individual, with a person. He speaks to us. We're sitting in a study. We're reading our Bible. Something is happening. This is why some people, in a moment in a Bible study or at a retreat or in worship or in prayer or reading their word on their own, their lives are changed forever. And some people in the same study, reading the same verse or in the same worship service, are not changed forever. This is why some people, they receive something from the Lord that literally changes their whole life. While some people can struggle with gay or transgender feelings, and another person, God speaks to them, and they know, this is who I am in Jesus Christ, and their lives are changed. Or some people can just live greedy, selfish lives, and in another instant, God speaks to them, and they're like, I'm greedy and selfish, I need to repent, and their lives are changed. What is the difference? It's not that they read some special verse, right? They actually read the book of Haggai. There's some verses in there that could change your life. It's not, they didn't find something. What happened is some people are literally taught of God, and other people think just because they have a fact, they have reality. They don't. They need to be taught of God. A.W. Tozer would say this, as I get into the Word of God, it begins to reveal God to me. And as that divine illumination takes place under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I then begin to see God for who He really is, not some caricature somebody has drawn to explain God to me. The great secret of the Christian life is to begin experiencing God as He desires me to experience Him. God's greatest delight is to bring me into His presence. Now look, what I'm talking about, some people call this experience revival, right? Where when a whole bunch of people have God teach them and then they respond to it and it changes their life forever, right? We call that revival. Let me call it what it is, Christianity. That is what Christianity is. It is the promise of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit would come. He would be our teacher. He would take our fallible hearts and minds, and He would guide them into all truth. It's what He wants to do. He knows there's no other way for us to know His love. He knows there's no other way for us to know His peace. He knows there's no other way for us to receive the strength or the grace or the help that we need in our time of need. So He gives us Himself, His Spirit of truth, to shine light on our lives, to wake us up to the reality of who He is, and to make us like Him, to change Him, to change us, excuse me, to be like Him, right? So yes, we need the doctrine, we need the memory verses, we need the creeds, we need the Bible stories, we need all those things, right? Truth begins there, like I said, but it doesn't end there. Those are all wood. The Holy Spirit is the fire. There's no sacrifice without both of them. So you have a person like Saul who knew all the Bible verses, right? He had the intellect. He knew everything anybody could ever teach him about the Old Testament or original languages, right? He knew everything you could know about those things. But then God stepped into what he knew. And then all those things he knew could be lit on fire for God. So you have the kid or the individual who hears about God and knows certain things about God, and they're like, this Christianity thing doesn't really do anything for me. I don't know why it does anything for anybody else. And it seems like they leave those things behind. Then God gets a hold of their life. Now they're there. Now they're there to be lit on fire. Now they're there to have a purpose. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's one of his main jobs from the scripture. We find him when the Holy Spirit sheds light on the truth of who he is. Any truth of who he is. And we need that to happen if we truly want to know him and walk with him. We need it to happen. We should want it, and it's his promise. But I think it's important to understand the process, right? Now, I do want to be clear. I'm not talking about abuses here of the Holy Spirit revealing truth to people. There are abuses here. We know just about every cult is somebody who says the Holy Spirit revealed something to them, and it's something outside of the scripture. Some word, some other gospel, the Bible tells us. Charles Russell from the Jehovah's Witnesses had some spiritual being come to him and tell him some other gospel. The Mormons, Joseph Smith, had some spiritual being come to him and tell him some other gospel. Muhammad apparently had some spiritual being come to him and give him another gospel. Hey, it might be true. I don't know. But Paul said, if an angel comes and gives you another gospel other than what I said, let that being be eternally damned. Could be a real experience. But if it's outside of God's truth, it doesn't mean it's from God. What I'm talking about is, and what Jesus is talking about, the spirit of truth. Just because there's abuses doesn't mean the reality doesn't happen. The reality is, he takes things that are true, things that are in the scripture, not something new, not something secret, not some hard to understand theology. He takes what's revealed in scripture and gives it its proper place and weight and power in our lives. That's what he does. He gives it light. Right? We see it in clarity. If you walk into a dark room and all the lights are off, you stub your toe. Right? You slam it on the bed. You get real angry. Why? Because you cannot see in clarity. You cannot see the obstacles that are in front of you. When a light shines in, you see things as they really are. Well, when God gives us light, we see the love of God as it really is. We see the grace of God as it really is. We see the majesty of God as it really is. Now we can worship. Now we can trust. Now we can serve. Now we could go through suffering or trial or difficulty. Why? Because he's given us light. A part of us that was asleep has been awakened, and Christ has given us light through the work of his Holy Spirit. It brings clarity, not confusion, into a person's life. When this is happening, it's not weird conversations about genealogies, as Paul says, or esoteric theology or weird things that make people confused about their salvation. When God gives somebody light, they're not fooling around with arguments. They are now receiving clarity. Augustine would say, the poverty of human intellect expresses itself in an abundance of language. I love this little phrase. Inquiry is more loquacious. That means you talk a lot. Loquacious than discovery. Right. Tozier would say it a little more simply. He'd say, the illuminated man doesn't ask questions, he answers them. Right? That's the point. There's a lot of people who like to talk like Augustine, or Augustine, if you're really technical, says, he's like, when you're really smart, people just have a lot of words to say, right? They throw a lot of things out there. But he says, inquiry has a lot more to say than discovery. Right? The man in John 9, who was blind, and Jesus heals him of his sight. The Pharisees had all types of things they wanted to talk about with him. They were trying to say, you need to reject this Jesus. He's not a real prophet. Just tell us again what happened. And eventually says, hey, look, here's one thing I know. Once I was blind, now I see. He was a man who received light, right? I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I'm pretty confident about this thing here. The person who receives light from Christ, truth from Christ, they can move forward in confidence. Why do you have David charging Goliath? It's because he was confused. Why do you have Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho? Not because he was confused. Once you have received that commandment from the Lord, once you've had that interaction with him, you're ready to do what you need to do. Peter, again, in John chapter 6, Jesus, in one of his conversations with many of the disciples, some of you might know this, talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. John 6:66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. People began to leave him because they were saying, these are hard sayings. We don't get this here. We're confused. We're out of here. This is getting tough now. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You notice that? Comes back, right? What he was taught by the Father in that time of difficulty came back. Other people are walking away. He says, no, I'm sure. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else can I go for the words of eternal life? Why is this important? Listen to me. There is so much doubt and unsurety and confusion, people turning away, walking away from the Lord. You want to know why? Because they have not been taught by God. You could be taught by your mommy, by your daddy, by your Sunday school teacher, by Pastor Joe, by Calvary Chapel. And if all you've been taught by is those people, you could likely walk away. You get one moment where Jesus Christ teaches you something, you're not going anywhere. Because even when the pressure comes in, you look around and say, who else could be my teacher? Where else can I find the words of eternal life? Right? Why are people struggling so much? Because God hasn't revealed himself to them for some reason. And look, there's so many reasons. That's another Bible study. Can't get there. But they have not received revelation from the Holy Spirit. They might know facts, but it seems like they don't really know him. Peter here could not leave him. It's not apologetics. It's not our culture. It's not any of those other things. When God speaks to a human individual and teaches them, it changes things. It changes things. Paul would say to the Thessalonian church, for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. He said, when you heard what I said to you, it wasn't me talking to you. You received it as it was, the word of God. Why do people sit in this sanctuary Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in sin? In sin with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or in some adultery, or in pornography, or in some sin that, again, God is speaking to them about. Why do some people sit there and they don't change, and another person sits there and they repent, or they get convicted, or they get married? Or they change their life, or they stop stealing at work, or they start being kind to their family member. Or they forgive the person at church that hurt them, and other people don't. Why does that happen? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to one person and said, this is what the grace of God looks like, and the reality of God looks like, and the truth of God looks like, and that person responds. And another person just hears Pastor Joe's opinion. And they walk out. And there's a big difference between those two things. You're either taught of God, or you're taught of somebody else. But there's only certain things that man can teach you. And if you really want to know God and walk with him, you have to be taught of God. The Holy Spirit has to take truth and apply it to your heart and your life and your mind. And we believe that he does that. That's why we open the Word of God. Because we believe that it is the word of God. It is not from some man. It is what he says. And when he shines light on it, it makes all the difference. And if you want a relationship with God and you hear from God, you respond to God. You respond. The last thing that I think is very important, a part of this, John 14, if you would go there one more time. And we've kind of just built on it. But when God teaches us, when someone receives divine light from the Holy Spirit, when they receive the truth that I'm talking about, they don't merely come into contact with what is taught. They come into contact with the teacher. Does that make sense? Right? That's why this is so integral to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, you don't have to go there, but I'll read this and then I'll get to John 14. In John 5, Jesus would say to the Pharisees, search you the scriptures, from in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. He would say in John 8, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? That's facts, right? Truth, doctrine, what we've been talking about. But then he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know this. No man comes to the Father but by me. Again, When you are taught of God, when the Holy Spirit gives us divine light, when the Word of God is given and the Holy Spirit shines that truth on your heart, on your life, on your mind, that interaction is an interaction between a person and their God. That's what we call fellowship, communion, personal relationship. When you come into contact with truth, you come into contact with Jesus. It's very important. You don't just come into contact with facts. When a Christian, I'm not talking about somebody who's a scientist in the world. When a Christian comes into contact with truth revealed to their heart through the Holy Spirit, they come into contact with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. To know the truth is to know Him. It's to see His glory. It's to taste and see that He is good. It's to smell, as the Bible says, the fragrance of Christ. It's to know His touch. It's to feel His love. It's to know God. When a person finds God, truly comes to Him, truly interacts with Him, right? He speaks to us. Be nicer to your wife. Serve me in this way. Whatever He's speaking to us, He's shining light. Repent here. Follow me here. Whatever it is, He's speaking to us through His word. That is an interaction between Him and us. And we have to respond if we want to move forward in a relationship with Him. That is Him. That is a real work of God in our lives. And we can't push that off. And when a person comes into contact with Him, again, like I said, it changes everything. It's very interesting. I've done youth ministry for a long time at this point, and there are many kids who have come through and graduated, grew up in Christian homes, received plenty of truth. And one of the things that's very funny, when you go back and you talk to them, and you know they've found God in the past in certain areas of life, I'll talk to them, even when they're at the point where they're saying, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't need God anymore, I'll say, well, what was that night then? Or what was that? And you know, a funny thing is, they might blow it off, but they never deny it. It's like they can't get themselves to the point where, like, I didn't have interaction with a person. They just say, oh, I don't know. I don't know. You want to know why? Because God's still there. It's real. They understand, I'm not just blowing off some idea. There's something more powerful than that that happens when a human being interacts with God, their maker, when the Holy Spirit reveals truth to our hearts and to our lives. And I think this reality of personal communion is what's missing. It's a lacking tone in a lot of what would call itself Christendom, the religious delight and joy and praise. They're lacking in teachers and listeners alike. I at one point took a little survey of maybe a 20-mile area, and I asked some of the guys here to help me. I just want to hear what people are hearing out there. Just give me messages, Wesleyan churches, Lutheran churches, Presbyterian churches, Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches, non-denominational churches. I just want to hear what's out there. I just want to hear what, when people are walking into what would call itself a Christian church, okay, what are they receiving? I'll tell you what. There's a clear difference. There, a lot of what people were receiving, you can't get much of a flavor that anybody's been taught anything by the Holy Spirit. Now, look, there are solid places out there, and it's usually very easy to tell. This guy has the Word of God on his heart, on his life. This congregation is interacting with God when this is happening, and this one isn't. Much of what's being said, much of what's being put out there, they might know God, but whatever the facts are that they know about God or whatever doctrine's being put forward, apparently it's not exciting enough to make much of a difference in their lives. Or what they know doesn't really move them much past the world or what would call itself even the status quo and just the plain name of Christendom, I think, nowadays. What they might say about God, what people would even sing about God, if they can even get to that point, right? Some people can't even, they're not even at the point in the relationship with Christ where they can talk about him in their life, or, you know, some people haven't had enough even reality between them and God to even praise him when they sit there on a Sunday morning. Now, I always tell the kids it's totem pole face, right? You ever see the Indian totem poles, right? People are just like, God is being worshipped. They're like, you know, that's all the Holy Spirit's revealed to you about the supreme being of the universe, huh? Right? Like, that's serious. It's not his fault. He's not boring. He's God. We're boring, right? The problem is something has been lacking in the revelation of who he is and us. If you see a person at the Grand Canyon just like on their phone texting or whatever, it's not the Grand Canyon's fault. That's pretty amazing, okay? It in and of itself is worthy of some admiration. God is the ultimate being of the universe. He is the ultimate thing worthy of admiration and praise and worship. And we respond as that reality of how amazing he is has been revealed to us. And the sad thing is, you look around. Again, I'm not just saying here, or I'm saying in what, again, you look, what is God's view when places fill that call themselves the house of God, when people who would call themselves Christians gather together, what is really being lifted up? What is the response? And a lot of it is a sea of glass mingled with no fire. The Holy Spirit is what we need for communion with him, to take the truths. I'm not saying all these people are going to hell. What I'm saying is there's a severe lack in that communion with him because there's a severe, I believe, lack of revelation between him and them. Something is lacking. It's not just the facts. We have more facts than we've ever had in human history. More doctrine than we could ever have. More of the church before us that has laid out amazing things. God has worked things in remarkable Christians' hearts and lives. I'm so thankful for the hundreds of years of remarkable Christians who have taken their walk with God and their wisdom. They've been able to put that down and extend it to us. We have more than anybody's ever had. But why? What is lacking then? What is lacking is the reality of the Holy Spirit taking those things and making them what they're supposed to be. He's the only one who can do it. And Satan would much rather have us busy about just about anything else than focused on that. He would rather have us hype about all different other types of things other than God, about politics, about even passionate about good things, even about church or church planning, abortion, Christian music, community giving, missions, church planning, any type of religious activity that we could possibly think of, anything other than placing ourselves at his feet as learners and receiving from him and responding to that in our personal lives. We'll stay busy so that we forget the one thing that's really needful and we don't have to actually sit down and have a moment between us and him. That is what we need. And I think if many Christians were honest, again, not just saying everybody here, I'm saying particularly what would, again, call itself Christendom, but I'm sure even people here, if many people were honest, I think they would admit they sense God's absence more than his presence in various aspects of their life. The answer is to sit down, ask, that's what Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit, and he will take your fallible heart and mind and guide it into all truth. It is what he promises. It is what you and I need on a daily basis. But if we don't understand the process of what is happening, we just come into situations and expect like some guy to say something to us. And there might be plenty of facts. We might be doctrinally correct. We might not be heretics. We might have very sound doctrine that we're putting out there. And then we're wondering, why isn't this changing people? Why isn't this making a difference in their personal lives or in their marriages or in their families or in the lives of their kids? How come there's something lacking? What is that? Why is there a missing fire there? This is the answer. The missing fire is the Holy Spirit taking that truth and giving it its proper weight in the hearts and lives of those who are hearing. Divine light. We need Him to shine on us. It's important that we understand the process so that we can pray. How many of those of us that we know, we have loved ones, maybe they've walked away from God, maybe we have kids that are growing up in Christian environments, maybe we have friends, again, that are, walking away from the Lord in one way or another. What is the answer? What do we do? Throw more facts at them? If they knew apologetics, they would come back. I don't want to slam apologetics. Like, those things are good. But the problem is people begin to scramble for answers. No. There is one answer. God is their Savior, not us. He is the one who reveals truth to them. We have to pray for that. We have to turn to Him for that. Our part is we can ask. This is important for us as we intercede. It's also important for us personally, right? What is our answer in our lives? What are the things that we're facing? What about when we have difficulty, when it comes to courage, or when it comes to hardship, or when it calls for suffering in His name, or facing persecution in our day and age in His name? What do we do? You know what we need to do? We need to pray and open up the Bible and ask God to make the sufferings of His fellowship, the sufferings and His grace, the sufferings that we face and the reward of heaven. We need those things to have their proper weight in our lives. And how does that happen? It happens like this, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how it happens. That's how it happened when we got saved. That's how it happens every moment we grow. That's how it will happen moving forward, not only for us, but for anybody else. When we look at other places, you might see a church or an individual or a place that's struggling. You know what we need to pray? Lord, give them the truth through your Holy Spirit. Change them. Set that pastor on fire. Wake them up. Give them spiritual light, illumination in you. They got a lot of facts, but they're lacking something. They're lacking something. And what they're lacking is the work of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of wood there. There's not much fire. I'm not talking again about the weird stuff. I'm talking directly about what Jesus promises His disciples. There could be things that you need to hear, He said. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He's going to come. He's going to reveal those things. He's going to take what's mine and He's going to give it to you. The peace that you saw in me, the strength that you saw in me, the power that you saw in me, the grace that you saw in me, the wisdom that you saw in me, the righteousness that you saw in me, He could take that and reveal it to you. He can make it real in your heart, in your life. He can conform you into my image and likeness. That is one of the major works of the Holy Spirit in our day and in our age. Again, as I said, there's more to it. What does that look like? What are hindrances to it? What are helps to it? The Bible has a lot to say about those things. But I just think it's so important for us to recognize, Lord, what is your process, right? When I hear truth, when I come to another Bible study, when I'm opening my Bible on my own, when I'm looking at people who are struggling, what is your process of revealing yourself? This is it. A personal interaction between them and Him through the Holy Spirit revealing the truth. Whatever it is that's necessary, whatever truth, all truth that is necessary for that moment or for that person through a spiritual moment and life and light. That's His work, and He is happy to do it. He gave us the Spirit to do it. So let's stand. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. My last encouragement to you, again, is simply, if you are here, and you know you need that work of the Spirit in your own personal heart and life in some way, I would encourage you, ask him. Ask him to be doing that work. If you want to come up and pray with one of the pastors afterwards, we'll be here. But he is more happy to give than you are to receive. We know that. We know that. It was his promise. He doesn't promise it just to rip it away from us. So, Lord Jesus, we just come to you again. We know we can inundate our lives with facts about you. But we want reality, Lord. We want to possess truth in our innermost being. We want reality between you and us. And we know, Lord, you have to make that real. You're the one who has to start. You're the one who takes the lead. So, Lord, we believe you've done that by offering this promise. And I just pray, Lord, our portion of your promise tonight. I pray for all my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill them, would teach them, would be their guide. And that you, Lord Jesus, you would give us truth, and that truth would set us free to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength all the days of our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Mike Foch. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Mike's teaching ministry by visiting ccphilly.org.